Welcome to the Soul Bible Study video series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We are working our way, and we have been for quite some time.
Yes, we have.
Through the book of Job, and we are so close. So close to getting done. We finally have started
12.
To come to a,
came around the corner.
A resolution on some of the things that we've been wrestling with for a long, long time, right?
Exactly.
We're in chapters 35 through 37 this time. But it's been a while getting there.
Well, for 25 chapters, it was three guys, and it was the same four. It was the same story over and over again. And finally, last week we hit a corner, and it turned out there was a fourth friend there. You know, who knew, right?
Yeah. Just sitting there soaking it all in.
Yeah. So he was. He said, he's younger, and he intentionally kept quiet. He wanted to hear what the others had to say. But then as we found out last week, he was pretty much mad at everybody. Right? He was mad at Job because Job was justifying himself versus glorifying God.
Yep.
He was mad at the three friends because they were totally clueless, and they never got... They always accused Job, but they could never place what they're accusing him of.
Right.
Yep. And then he's mad at old people because his idea is age brings wisdom. The older I get, the better I believe that.
Yeah.
But we know that that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
And he's like, I didn't see it in you guys.
Yeah.
And he was really, saying... they weren't following God too in there in an offhand kind of way.
Well, because they thought that they were speaking for it. Each one of them had, well, this is how God works, and this is how God works, and we know this is how God works, but it was only part of the story. And I think that was part of his problem is, you guys are sort of dancing around the issue. You're not really getting to the main point. And he tried to be respectful, and he tried to you know, defer to a point, but at some point he's like, all right, you guys
you're done.
My turn. Yeah.
And he does accuse Job this week.
Yeah.
We find that he accuses Job of some sins.
Yeah.
And we can kind of see it in here.
Now, we're not going to go through everything that he said. This is easy to read. Okay, this is easy to read. But there, he brings up some very important questions, right?
Yeah.
And there's some concepts in here that I think that specifically you wanted to sort of track through. So
Right. So Job does bring up, where will it profit me? What do I gain by not sinning?
Yep.
Right? Because Elihu seems to say that Job was profiting from some sins. But I think Elihu asks two really good questions that we can say for ourselves. And that is, if I sin, how does it affect God? And that's... you know, certainly we know God doesn't like sin, doesn't want us to sin, but how does my sin affect God? And then the other one is, if I'm not sinning, if I'm righteous, how does that affect God?
Yeah.
If God is perfect and just, does it affect him at all?
Yeah.
And I don't think we get answers for these questions.
You know, so what's interesting about this is if you're thinking of dispensations, which is just how God has worked with different people over time.
Right.
From where we are today, this is at least two dispensations back. Okay, so we're in the church now, and God is working with the world very specifically through the church. Before this is Israel and the Mosaic Law.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and prophets, right?
Yeah.
And there's,
right.
Yep.
But Job, Abraham, is even further back than that. There is no Israel yet. There is no Ten Commandments. You know, that whole thing.
Yeah, the law hasn't been given.
Hasn't even started yet. So when we think, I mean, you ask this question, you know, chapter 35, verse 6, if you sin, how does it affect God? We're thinking, okay, well, I'm saved, and I've got the Holy Spirit in me, and so there's the fellowship and 1 John.
Yeah.
None of that exists at this time.
Good point.
And so I think that's part of why there's not an answer there, is because he's throwing this out and Job is thinking through the answer, and maybe Job doesn't even have the answer. And it's worth, I think the cool thing is that every generation gets to ask the same question, and we have to answer it based on the revelation that we have.
Yeah. That's true.
So I think it's a really cool question.
So how would you answer it?
Well, in our case, with as Christians, how does it affect God? It affects God in the sense, and again, only in the sense, that the fellowship that we have with Him is...
It's more separated.
Is separated, right? And God's whole thing, from the very beginning, like Genesis to Revelation, God's biggest thing, other than His own glory, we say the purpose of everything is God's glory, right? But the way He wants to live that out is to be in relationship, to have us in relationship with Him, His presence with us. It's always been about God's presence with us. That's the way it was in the garden, and then they were kicked out of the garden.
Right.
Cain said, oh, you're going to kick me out of your presence. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. One of the titles that Jesus is going to carry is Emmanuel, God with us. You look at Revelation 21:22, and the presence of God will be with His people. It's always been about God with His people. And so when we sin, right, we lose that fellowship that God desperately wants us to have with Him.
Nice.
So, and the same thing is true when we do good, when we act out righteousness, we're actually becoming more like Him and
right,
and living
closer
out that
fellowship,
yeah,
and expectations, right?
Yeah. But Job wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, I'm going to keep going.
I think we'll get to the maybe eventually.
All right, so the big question is, what did Elihu accuse Job of? I found three things. Job says, and we heard this time after time, why doesn't God respond to me?
Right.
And Elihu says, Job, I hear you're saying God is insensitive. Right, that He's not paying attention to you,
yep,
and you're saying God is wrong.
Yep.
And then Job said, "Why doesn't God relieve me?" You know, he was under so much pressure. He had so many bad things happen. He kept saying, "It's just like He's sitting on my chest, and I can't get a breath." You know. Yep. And Elihu says, "You're calling God unjust."
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one was, why doesn't God reward me? You know, I did good things. Why doesn't God reward me? And Elihu says, you're saying that holiness is unprofitable. Back to, well, does that mean sinning is profitable?
Yep.
In there. So at the very least, Elihu came up with three things that he saw Job could be accused of,
yep,
which is three more than the three friends. The other three friends actually came up with.
And what's interesting is that Elihu's whole case is, Job, you have the wrong view of God. It's not you're acting out the sin or you're an evil person, but your mind is wrong. You don't understand God. And so when you speak, you're speaking out of ignorance. Which is exactly what Job is going to have to repent for.
Yeah, yeah, very, very good. So then in chapter 36, along those same lines, Elihu has some really lofty descriptions of who God is,
yep,
and what God is about. And he starts them all with, behold, the net uses, indeed. And then, whatever the description is and how it plays out and how it's applied,
yep,
is in there. And that's basically all of chapter 36.
You know what's interesting? I really like, there's two parts of chapter 36 that I think are just cool. One of them is in verse 2. He says, be patient with me a little longer. Okay, that's nice. This is Elihu to Job. Be patient with me a little longer, which is very respectful, and I will instruct you. Okay. For I still have words to speak on God's behalf. That's pretty bold.
Yeah.
For him to come in and say, listen, I'm going to speak for God now.
Right.
You know.
Right. We were having a little sidebar before this, and one of the things I said was, Elihu doesn't get in trouble. The other four get in trouble,
yeah,
and Elihu doesn't, and then... If he did say these bold words, God either didn't take exception to them, which doesn't seem like that would have happened, or he was speaking at least with God in his thoughts and in his mind.
Because I guess that's the thing, is that if I say something incorrect, but I've done my research and I mean, this is the best I understand. It's not like I'm trying to blatantly be wrong or flat out wrong or misleading. That is absolutely the best I understand. It seems like there's probably a little bit of grace there.
Right.
And I think that's probably where Elihu is. You know, there's some things in chapters 36 and 37. He's talking about science and creation and all this other stuff. So is that the way it actually works, or is that just the way he understood it to the best of his knowledge at that time in history,
right,
and God doesn't correct him because he's not supposed to know anything beyond that yet?
Yeah.
Right? So we've got to be, you know, we've got to be careful with that. But he really thought, like, listen, I'm coming here, I'm standing here with God's authority. Yeah, so did God speak to him?
Right.
Personally, you know, give him.
Well, we were asking, where did these guys get their understanding about God?
Yeah.
And they would have gotten it from the patriarch. Well, the deal is these are the patriarchs, right? So who did they speak with God?
Well, and that's sort of that maybe that I was talking about, right? Because if this is close to Abraham's time, and we don't know exactly, right? But we know that Abraham talked with God.
Right.
We know that there was conversations.
Yeah.
So if Job was as righteous as God described, not just what he thought, but as God described him to be in chapters 1 and 2.
Yeah. Wouldn't he have talked to Job?
Doesn't it seem like maybe there would be some personal contact there as well?
Like different times.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. The other thing in chapter 36, and I just love this, is, you know, we've got the water cycle that is, you know, so it rains, and then it condenses, and there's dew, and it just keeps coming up and down, right? That's actually explained here in chapter 36. Yeah.
Nice.
4,000 years ago, Elihu tells us about the water cycle.
Nice.
You have to find out which verse it's in, but it's in there.
Yeah, well, and that is important, too, because I condensed 36 down to, like, two statements, right? Because it is all these indeeds, and Elihu is really going after Job with, hey, do you really understand this?
Yeah.
Do you understand this? Almost like he's giving him an out, because God's going to come and say the same thing to him too.
Yeah.
And his answer is going to be, I didn't understand.
Oh.
I didn't understand any of it. Yeah. So in chapter 37, Elihu continues, and he's talking about God's voice sounding like thunder, which is kind of a cool concept. And lightning in there too. And then in verse 7, 37:7, it says, he causes everyone to stop working so that all people may know his work. And I take it in context of a snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Like every now and then, northern Indiana, we just get dumped. And, you know, nowadays we can prepare for it and we're there, but even in California, not too long ago, they got like 6 feet of snow, right? And after 2 weeks, they're still digging people out, right? And that kind of, serves them right in California. but that is how we know that God's in charge, right? It's not us.
Yeah. Well, and the context around verse 7 is talking about snow and ice and everything. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. I like the word that you used, God is in charge. Some people prefer the word God is in control, but there's a difference between charge and control. Control really gets to the micromanagement part.
Yeah.
Like you and I were talking, does that mean that God caused that typhoon? Did God cause the snowstorm? Or did God set up the system that he allows to happen? Nothing happens outside of his understanding. Nothing. I mean, he's never surprised by anything, but he's not handcrafting every snowflake. He's not handcrafting. You know, he didn't send the hurricane in.
Yeah. You know, is he making this snowflake looks exactly like this one and it has to fall right here?
Yeah.
Right. Or does he just put the system in place that, okay, it's going to be cold enough, there's going to be enough moisture, and snow falls?
Right. Since we've got the water cycle in the previous chapter, I'm more along the side of God sets up systems and the systems work. But we have to remember that we live in a cursed, sinful, fallen world too. You know, entropy and death didn't happen before sin.
Right.
Right. Things weren't falling apart constantly. Well, things are falling apart now. Left to themselves, things decay and die. Okay, But that's the system. God isn't forcing that to happen. So God is in charge of everything. But to say that he controls each every little detail, I think that goes beyond what the scriptures describe.
Yeah. I mean, you brought up a great one with the mountain goats. Yeah. Right, giving birth. Right.
That's coming up in a future chapter, but that's...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That's okay. Do you understand how mountain goats give birth?
Yeah.
Nope, I really, because I... It seems like they should fall to their death, right?
Well, until you think, oh yeah, they're the guys that are on that little ledge. How do you give birth on a 2-inch ledge?
How do you stand on a 2-inch ledge?
Yeah, let alone,
give birth.
Yeah, so all of these are kind of, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I don't know how that works.
And really starting here in these next couple of chapters as we finish up this book over the next couple of weeks, these questions are going to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Do you really understand God? Do you really know God?
Well, even in this chapter, Elihu asked Job, do you know how God does this? Yeah. And I think that's exactly where you're going with it. In other words, okay, we get it. God makes lightning. How does God make lightning flash? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. How does God balance the clouds in the air? You know, I think that's one of those, you know, these clouds, they have rain in them.
Yeah.
So they got to be heavy.
Yeah.
How are they balancing up there?
Yeah. How does a cloud full of water vapor, I mean, there's mass, there's all sorts, how does it float? You know.
He does end this chapter with, we cannot obtain the Almighty. He is great in power.
Yeah.
But justice and abundant righteousness, he does not oppress.
Yep.
Which I think is really good.
Yeah.
So, One of the things here is Elihu seems to be very knowledgeable about God. And we talked, maybe he is talking with God.
Yeah.
Some people see Elihu as a type of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a phrase that I wasn't familiar with. So does that mean they think Elihu is Jesus, or what's going on here?
No, so when we use the word type, it comes from the Greek word that means pattern or model. And so when somebody says that Elihu is a type of Jesus, what they're saying is that not that he was Jesus or, you know, pre-incarnate Christ or anything, but we can see a lot of the same pattern.
Characteristics
or whatever in here. So when he says, I'm speaking for God, you know, Jesus said that. And the questions that he asked and the way he was able to really drill down, Jesus did that. And Job needed to have God's spokesman in his life, and Elihu filled that role without being a prophet.
So are there other people in the Bible that would be a type of Jesus?
Yeah, some people think Joseph. And, you know, so Joseph...
coat of many colors.
Coat of many colors, okay. Joseph, right? You know, he was in shackles and bound and until God used him for this greater purpose. You know, he had this rough life leading up to this. Moses, in a sense, Moses was a prophet. In fact, God said that Moses is the greatest prophet, but there is one coming who is going to be like him. And so that's definitely messianic. David, in a sense, Solomon, in a sense, from the kingship, the royal side of things. Some people see types everywhere. Like everything is, you know, I prefer to not use that terminology unless it's really, really clear. You know,
okay. You see it clear here with Elihu?
One of the things that I say when I teach the book of Matthew, especially in Uganda, is similarity does not mean equality. You can see a lot of overlap. You can see a lot of things that are similar.
Doesn't make it so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if somebody wants to say, hey, I see a lot of foreshadowing of Jesus here. I see a type of Christ. That's fine. You know, it doesn't say that it is. So it's not something that we're going to be like super strong on.
Right. Okay. Good. Well, I think that ends up for this week, right?
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Now, the next two are, I mean, if you thought this was good, the next two are really, really cool. You think you're getting some answers now, which we have been. Man, the next two are awesome. So make sure you stick with us for these last two of this series. I hope these last couple of weeks now with Elihu has been really helpful to you as we've been able to explore some of these bigger things. If you still have questions, if you're reading certain things and say, hey, could you, you know, talk about this a little bit, send them over to us. We'd love to hear those and be able to give an answer to you if at all possible. Otherwise, we'll see you back here next time, and we have yet another speaker starting in chapter 38.
What?
Yep.